Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Today, we continue our series of debates for the general election on November 5th. We hear from the candidates running for state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District, which includes precincts 1 through 9 and 13 in Barnstable, and precincts 5, 6, and 8A in Yarmouth. Reminder of our format, we give our candidates up to 2 minutes to answer questions on issues and 2 minutes for closing comments at the end, and we will alternate who answers first. Our candidates are Kip Diggs. He's the Democratic candidate. Good morning, Kip. Good to see you.
Good morning.
And Suzanne Conley, she's a Republican candidate. Hi, Suzanne.
Good morning.
We're going to begin with you, Suzanne. And like all of the debates, I'm starting with a question I think is on a lot of people's minds, and that is affordable housing. Your thoughts on how we tackle affordable housing?
It's the great issue in Massachusetts, and especially here. It's especially acute on Cape Cod. I've been reading carefully the Affordable Homes Act, which was passed by the current legislature, and I was very pleased to see so much going toward populations in our community who really need the help the most, and that's people who are housing insecure, seniors who are on limited income, folks struggling with addiction or mental illness issues, and there's so much in that bill that will help them keep roofs over their heads. There are other aspects to it that I'm less crazy about, including a sort of attempt to override town zoning, town ordinances. I really believe that the communities, the local communities, know best what their communities need, and I want to see money being funneled through this $4 billion bond bill to the municipalities to do with how they feel is the best way to spend. One of the things I've been thinking about are freeholding leases on town land. This is land that's not on the tax rolls. Let's talk about allowing parcels to be attached with, say, 99-year leases that would then accrue to the parcel at the end of the freehold. I think towns should be able to recover properties that are tax delinquent or abandoned, and to let people like firefighters, teachers, police officers get mortgages, rehab mortgages for those properties. So I think there's a lot to be done on the local level, and I'm hoping that the Affordable Homes Act understands that, you know, there are different levels of need and that we adjust accordingly.
Thank you. Kip Diggs, same question.
Well, as your state representative, it's an honor to be here with you, Mindy. Thank you very much. And I was able to vote on this bill. The Affordable Homes Act is our largest investment for Massachusetts history, over $5.2 million. For the next 5 years, we'll go to affordable housing for Cape Cod, which is huge. We'll help our housing investment for and focus on year-round rental, year-round housing, which is very important because Cape Cod is actually becoming more year-round instead of and being seasonal. And we have to make sure that we have our nurses, our doctors, our police officers, our firefighters, our school teachers, everybody that needs a house should be able to afford and be able to live here on the Cape. It helps for transitional units, and we got to make sure people for recovery, our veterans who I've done so much work for, and our seniors. You know, I think of my mother. She's passed, but you know, I made sure that you know I lived with my mom while she was getting older. And it was great to have a roommate, you know what I mean? So I had to make sure that I was able to do that. And I think that everyone should be able to live at home as long as they want to and die peacefully if they want to live at home instead of having to go to a nursing home or whatever. So this is very important for our nurse, for our housing program. And even it helps also our seasonal communities. So we put over a lot of work into seasonal communities, you know, during when we're working, there's 229,000 people, and then it goes up to 500,000 in the summer. So, I mean, housing is such a key thing.
Thank you very much. All right, Kip Diggs, we start with you this time. Climate change, also a concern on the minds of many voters. What are your thoughts on coastal resilience?
Well, it's very important. I mean, that's to me, that's one of the biggest issues, our climate and our water. And you know what's going on with erosion, and the town is a leader in these environmental issues, and that's why we've never had infrastructure here on Cape Cod ever. and they dealt with septic systems, and you know, they had a chance to put septic systems in a long time ago, but they never did it. And for a long time, and they never did it. So now we're doing it, and it's costing us a lot of money. And you know, it's our freshwater areas are not being able to be swimmable. Kalma's Beach was not swimmable. Wauquaket Lake was not swimmable. And honestly, they're not coming to see Kip Diggs or Sue Conley. They're coming to see our beaches and our ponds. And we are a peninsula around water, so we need to protect our water. You know, I do understand that the wind farms fell into the water, but it wasn't catastrophic. You know, we're supposed to take care of us before we take care of our animals. Not saying that our animals are not important, but we are the predominant people that we're supposed to take care of. So taking care of our people and making sure that their houses don't fall in the water, that's just important. So if your house falls in the water and you have a tank full of oil, well, then we have a moral catastrophe. So we have to think about that and be very... We're trying to be as smart as we can and use our resources to the best of our abilities.
Thank you, Suzanne Conley. Same thing, coastal resilience.
Yeah, of course, we are facing a warming climate, and that will impact our shorelines. But when it comes to the wind, we'll talk about this later, I know. I don't believe that's the solution. What I think is the solution is making sure that our environment is maintained in such a way that we can continue to live on this sandbar, because that's exactly what it is. That means clean water at all costs. We must protect our drinking water first and foremost. Secondly, we should put money into understanding beach replenishment, dredging, and so forth. I don't think there's enough capacity on Cape Cod to make sure that the peninsula is able to keep up with keeping harbors open, keeping beaches replenished, and so forth. The towns fight for dredging, which isn't right. There should be more capacity there, in my opinion. The entire issue of climate change, I think we have to be careful going forward that we're not rushing into solutions that in the long term will hurt us more than help us.
Thank you. All right, Suzanne Conley, we start with you this time. We did have that unfortunate issue with the turbine blade at Vineyard Wind that collapsed into the Atlantic Ocean, and the debris washed ashore on area beaches. Has this changed your position on wind power, and how do we prevent future problems like this? So I guess your position on wind power.
Yeah, it reinforced my position on wind power. I'm the chair of a group called Save Greater Delsa's Beach. We have been fighting the plans of a company named Avangrid Renewables to land three major cable projects in the town of Barnstable, which is an incredibly excessive amount of electricity running into one community. Over time, we found ourselves fighting the state as well, because the state has been in a bus running downhill as fast as they can to put these ocean wind farms in the ocean. And the issue with the blade illustrated the danger of putting what I call all this junk in our oceans. There are much, much better ways to make the necessary transition to renewable energy. And I said this to the governor when I had the chance. There's hydroelectric, there's micronuclear, there's geothermal. There is the increasingly effective carbon capture technology the gas industry has developed. And there's conservation. You know, that's the one piece that no one seems to want to talk about. We need to think about how we use electricity, but we can't destroy our environment to save the planet. That is number one. That's my mantra. And I think we need to slow down and rethink this whole thing.
Thank you. Kip Diggs, same question.
Well, I'm glad you were talking about this, because I was able to contact Chairman Roy at the Joint Committee of Telecommunications and Utility Energy, and I'm in constant, you know, I've been letting them know that I've been really worried about my constituents and their concerns, and Chairman Roy has confirmed the Massachusetts legislation is pending to see if there's a feasible alternative landing areas on cables in Sandwich at Jarrah Power Plant. So that would be really good because honestly, you know, we need to figure out another way of coming in because my constituents have said so, and I'm listening to them.
All right, thank you. Kip Diggs, we start with you this time. We're seeing mental health challenges on the rise, and access to treatment is a huge issue in our region. Do you have any thoughts on how we make that more accessible?
Mental health is such a really, really important thing, and I must tell you that I have been in touch with doctors, Dr. Mark Vonnegut from Harvard, Dr. James O'Connell, who's a Harvard professor also, and Ellen Dalton from NAND Project. And we're trying to deal so much for our children and our youth because, I mean, even think of COVID, how kids weren't, you know, they're developing, but they're also feeling different stresses. And, you know, we're supposed to be, kids are our future. And I've brought in over $100,000 for Barnstable for a mental health clinician, the police station. I've also brought $50,000 to Yarmouth Police Station for mental health clinicians. And so I am working very hard, and I'm also the youth group advisor for Barnstable. And I talk to our children about all kinds of various things so that you can be prepared, you know, and have an understanding because, like I said, kids are our future. So if we put them in different settings so that they can plan and they can understand what's going on, they have a lot better chance.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Yeah, during my professional career as the chief student affairs officer at one of Massachusetts public universities, I saw firsthand way too often the tragedy of families who are unable to access mental health care for their young people. There are simply not enough facilities. There are not enough beds for folks who need long-term treatment. So I'm going to support Representative Exaros's idea that we get the money to establish a state-of-the-art many-bed facility here on Cape Cod to help treat mental illness among our young people. Mental illness is not something that young people alone experience. This is something we need to think about as a society. There's just not enough treatment, and we need to do everything we can to increase the availability of treatment.
All right, thank you. Go ahead quickly.
You know, you're saying that, and you know, we haven't really gotten to it, but you know, you're talking about adding something. How are we going to pay for that? I mean, there's just so many ways that you're talking about. Before you were talking about taxes, and there's ways that there's no way that we're going to be able to pay for these things if we don't have our taxes.
All right, Suzanne, how would we pay for it?
I think the state needs to really take a hard look at how we spend taxpayer dollars in Massachusetts. Why are we paying four times as much to maintain 1 mile of roadway than New Hampshire does? So their money is there. If we can spend $1 billion on the migrant surge, I think we can spend money on putting a facility that's badly, badly needed on Cape Cod.
We're talking with the candidates running for state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District, Kip Diggs and Suzanne Conley. 866-999-4626 is our number. We ask that your question be issue-oriented and directed to both candidates. 866-999-4626, our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll have more after a break. You're listening to The Point, our series of debates continuing this morning with the candidates running for state representative in the 2nd Barnstable. They are Kip Diggs and Suzanne Conley. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Suzanne, your turn to go first. This is from Roger in Falmouth. Medical aid in dying permits hospice-eligible, capable adults to receive a prescription from their physicians to take if they decide that their suffering is intolerable and to die in their sleep. The issue has been well debated in the legislature, press, and has wide acceptance as an option at the end of life. What is your position on this issue and why?
This is a very difficult issue. Having gone through hospice with a beloved family member, I know that there are ways to ease suffering that might make such a bill unnecessary. This is a terrible, terrible question for our society. the bill that proposes this, what my fear is, it slips into euthanasia. I will direct you to what's happened in Sweden, where they developed something called a suicide pod, and it was used for the first time, and then the entire country rebelled and said, no, this is not what we want to do. And I'm afraid of a slippery slope. I think we have enough medical care to help those who are suffering in the last phase of life without a bill that would open a door to the sort of thing that's happening abroad and also in Canada.
Thank you. Kip Diggs.
I was definitely against this bill, but I was able to have office hours, and I was able to listen to a doctor and hear him speak and tell me how there's three provisions to making sure that the safeguards around this. And it made me think, wait a minute, because I watched my mother die of cancer, and she was like, oh, I can remember, you know, one of the last days, she goes, oh, God, just kill me. And hearing that in her voice, I'm like, oh, hang in there, Mom. I'm trying to be there for her, trying to love her, but she's in pain. And I don't think that anyone has to go through that. So when I heard that, I learned some, and then I got more feedback on the safety guards of this, that yes, I changed my mind. And honestly, that's what democracy is all about, is being able to hear, listen. You know, I can be the Tip O'Neill of us and try to make sure that we work all together and make sure that we come with the greatest, the best idea or the areas around our people and listening to them.
Thank you. We're going to go to Nina, who's giving us a call from Hyannisport. Good morning, Nina.
Yes, good morning.
What's your question?
I'd like to hear from both the candidates. How do you support veterans?
Thank you. How do you support veterans? Kip Diggs, your turn to go first.
Oh, veterans. Veterans are so important, so dear to my heart, because, you know, my father was a Vietnam veteran of three terms of Vietnam. I have two uncles that were Tuskegee Airmen. And there's nothing more than I'm taking care of our veterans. We have over 3,020 veterans in the second Barnstable District. We had a Heroes Act that we just did, and the Heroes Act is incredible. It was the first thing in the nation. We're really helping our veterans take care of their various issues that they have, getting a home, being able to have homes. We voted a unanimous decision. It's just, you know, and it broadens the Chapter 115 dedication for our veterans. It's awesome. It really, truly, we're helping our veterans, and I want my veterans to know that, you know, we love them, and we want to make sure that we take, and, you know, there's still more to do, and we will continue, but we, you know, we've put a good ground foot forward for the Heroes Act and the Homes Act. So it's good.
Thank you. Suzanne?
I support veterans in a number of ways, including contributing to local nonprofits that support their reentry after their service. I was very upset this spring, early in the year, when an amendment to the right to shelter bill that came forward as a result of the migrant surge proposed by Minority Leader Brad Jones was voted down, and that amendment was to ensure that veterans were given priority over migrants for emergency shelter. My opponent voted against that proposed amendment, and I think that vote hurt, upset many, many veterans in our district, and we have a huge concentration of veterans in our district, and I've heard from a lot of them. They felt betrayed, they felt disrespected, and although the Heroes Act came, it came much, much later, so it's not like that vote against that proposed amendment was done because of the Heroes Act. I just want to point that out. I would never, ever vote against such a thing.
Thank you. Do you want to have a rebuttal? Go ahead. You have a minute.
Yep. So that amendment, we were having a debate, and Jerry Cassidy, who is the chairman of the Veteran Affairs for Mass, because of course, being the state representative, I was here able to hear the debate in being there. My opponent does not have any idea of the process of what it takes to have been in them shoes. So yes, the minority leader did say that, but then what happened was Jerry Cassidy said, we have the amendment. This amendment doesn't work because we have the HEROES Act that's going to be even better than what it's stronger than what this debate, this amendment that they were trying to do would hold. So that's why we voted against it.
All right. Thank you, Suzanne. We start with you this time. This is a question from Carol. She says, migrant housing and support is currently costing the state $1 billion a year. What is your plan to pay for these costs going forward? And do you believe a tax increase is necessary to pay for these costs?
Thank you for the question. Quite opposite. I believe that the legislature needs to put forward a much larger tax rollback than they put forward this year, which was welcome, but it's not enough. The program to deal with the migrant surge is an all-inclusive, everything paid ride for people who came to our country. I'm not necessarily expecting that, but our governor put that program together. It's not sustainable. I think that we need to amend or repeal, even. That's kind of a radical stand, but at least amend the right to shelter law. That law was never intended to give a free ride to literally thousands of foreign nationals who are here perhaps temporarily. And what it's done is it's made a lot of people, working class people, people I know personally, who are working so hard to put food on the table and keep their roof over their head, very angry. Why are our tax dollars going to this very expensive, sustainable program? We should not be looking at paying for more of this.
Thank you. Kip Diggs.
Our right to shelter law, our immigration system is broken and is long overdue for change. If we're going to address the issue of equality, looking to share immigration history is the best way to start. The Cape that I know is welcoming community and is acknowledgement of our seasonal economy, small business, health systems, and hospitality sector is basically from our migrants or immigrants. For the people that have come here with the right to shelter obligations, it's a short-term basis, and that's what we voted on in the House. And there's guardrails for the length of stay for 9 months. But most importantly, only the Wampanoags and indigenous tribal people are natives of Cape Cod. Working together, we need to work forward to find reasonable solutions as humanitarians for this crisis, and so that it does not divide our community. We need to stick together and understand that, hey, you know, we need everybody working and working as one.
Thank you. Gary is giving us a call from Barnstable. Hi, Gary.
Good morning.
What's your question, Gary?
Do the candidates support lowering the state sales tax to 5%?
All right. Kip Diggs, your turn to go first. Do you support lowering the sales tax to 5%?
Do I support the
lowering the sales tax to 5%?
We have to do more research on that. I don't think that it's necessarily a necessity to do that, but I believe that we can figure out some ways. But I think that's something that I can go to the State House and debate and get a commonality of what everyone thinks, because that's what we're supposed to do. To go ahead and just say that I'm not a CEO. I'm a representative. So I'm supposed to be representing all of my district, not one side or the other. It's not about me. It's about we. So possibly on 5%, but possibly not also.
Thank you. Suzanne?
Absolutely. It should be lowered to 5% because we have an affordability crisis that our representatives seem not to recognize. When you think about the increase in prices. I was just looking last night. The cost of a dozen eggs in 2022 was $2 and change. My husband, who does our grocery shopping, told me it's close to six. The cost of gas, the cost of housing, the cost of clothing, everything. And the fact that representatives are kind of cavalier about this, not understanding that the affordability crisis is wreaking havoc on our families here in the Commonwealth is kind of disturbing. So absolutely, roll it back to 5%. Give people some relief. And that's not the only tax I would advocate rolling back.
What else would you advocate rolling back?
Well, for example, they tout the millionaire's tax. Well, all that's doing is driving massive wealth out of the Commonwealth while we're working so hard to develop a kind of permanent dependent class. There are other short-term capital gains. Why are we doing that? Income tax. Let's take a look at that. There are lots of taxes in Mass we should take a look at.
Thank you. Go ahead, Kip.
First of all, she talks like she's running for the Senate instead of running for a representative seat. But I will also say that I voted against the millionaire's tax because then it went to our voters. Our voters voted for the millionaire's tax. To me, I voted against it. I think maybe $2 million would have been a different story, but I voted against it so that basically what happened is it went to the vote for all of our Massachusetts, and guess what? That's what they thought of. So, that just shows, again, the Democratic way is the way to go.
866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Suzanne, your turn to answer first. This is from Abby. How will you support women's right to reproductive health?
Women have a right to reproductive health. Absolutely. I do. I know it's the third rail of politics, and I support a woman's right to consult with her doctor, especially in the first trimester. What I am opposed to, and I think people of goodwill everywhere are opposed to, are the termination of a pregnancy in a very late term. And I've actually seen evidence about such termination happening at 34 weeks. That's the part that really disturbs a lot of people. In the first trimester, if a woman talks to her doctor, they agree to this. I understand that to be a decision that she's allowed to make. I was happy that the Supreme Court left it in the hands of the states. I don't think there will ever be a fully accepted solution to this. There will always be divides on the two sides on this question, but that was the most reasonable thing, I think, that could be done at the time.
Thank you. Kip Diggs.
Women's right is the women's right. I won't even, that's all I need to say. The women have their, there's no men's rules in this area. It's a woman. I can't go there. I'm gonna support our women because something. I come from a woman, and I respect every woman's issues.
This is from Tony, and Kip, it is your turn to answer first. Rebuilding the Cape Cod Canal bridges is a major issue for our district. You support tolls to help pay the cost of rebuilding the bridges?
I do not. Listen, our Cape Codders, we already pay enough. We pay enough, and a lot of money goes to Boston. So I definitely do not believe in tolls for our bridges, but I am glad that we do have the money secured for a Sagamore Bridge, and we want rail. We need to have rail because honestly, we are paying for the MBTA on the Cape, and we need to make sure that we are able to use that. Since our tax money is going to the MBTA on that, then we need to make sure that we have rail coming to the Cape so that everybody can have the, Route 3 is really the issue. Going up Route 3 is tough. Making the ride up to Boston to, as your state representative, I'm noticing what's going on, and being a trucker, being an employee, a truck driver, I've done construction, so I know what it takes, and we definitely have to have something that for our bridges, because that's gonna bring so much. Millions of dollars to our area to making sure that our tourists are coming here, and we have our workers going back and forth from from off the Cape, because they can't live here. We definitely have to make sure our bridges are there and there's no tolls.
Thank you. Suzanne?
Yes, we are missing economy of scale if we don't replace the Bourne Bridge at the same time that we replace the Sagamore Bridge. I remark about not the ease, but the fact that the state's bond rating is such that we could go out and get a $4 billion bond bill for, done almost overnight, it seems. We should consider a bond bill so that the money for the Bourne Bridge could be acquired. To tell you the truth, I am very grateful that the railroad bridge has to go up and down. It saves us from the MBTA Communities Act that is causing such havoc and such densification of housing in not in a good way. My former community of Framingham, I drive through there and I wonder why we think this is a good idea. But anyway, I think the railroad bridge does eventually need to be replaced just, for the delivery of goods to the Cape. But let's get both bridges done at the same time. The engineering, the impact on the Cape, it really should be even. And those folks over in Bourne shouldn't be left out of it.
Thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
My opponent, 2 days before us having the money for the Sagamore Bridge, was down at the Sagamore Bridge talking about, not having this and not having that. And, we got the Sagamore done. So now she's trying to transfer over to Bourne, the Bourne Bridge. We're going to get it done. But I'll be honest with you. Just like, we didn't get any help during COVID from the past president. If he's elected, we're going to have problems getting money for this voting, for this Bourne Bridge. So be very careful.
Suzanne?
I'm not sure. I wasn't at the Sagamore Bridge 2 days ago. But
I didn't say 2 days. I said 2 days before.
Anyway, if I may, what I mentioned was economy of scale, and that has to go with the engineering, the procurement of materials, the fact that the longer we postpone the Bourne, the more expensive it will become. That's a fact.
All right, thank you. We're talking with the candidates running for state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District, Suzanne Conley and Kip Diggs. 866-999-4626 is our number. If you have an issue question for the candidates, 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll have more after break. You're listening to The Point. We are hearing from the candidates running for state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District, Kip Diggs and Suzanne Conley. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Suzanne, your turn to go first. This is another listener question. What are your top priorities for supporting the arts in our district, and what policies would you support to promote the growth of creative industry in our area?
The schools are where young people get introduced to the arts. And oftentimes, when the 9C cuts come along and the towns have to adjust their budgets, the school budget takes a whack. And sometimes that means cutting programs for art and programs for athletics. When it comes to the arts, that should be central to everything the schools are doing. Adding the A to the STEM to make it STEAM is an idea that I love. So let's introduce our young people to arts. Let them express themselves in all of the various milieu, painting, dancing, theater arts, and so forth, music. In terms of industrial, I'm sorry, the question was in creative.
Yeah, and supporting the arts industry, and also what would you do to promote the growth of creative industry in our area?
We have so many artists on Cape Cod, and they struggle. Many of them struggle. So, and again, funneling some funds toward nonprofits that support the arts on Cape Cod to support directly artists, not necessarily centers. But we have some centers, but we need to support these artists. There are many, many of them. We're very rich that way. I also think we need to make better connections with the creative community up in Boston, which means bringing many, many more guest artists down here, everything from dance to theater to the visual arts.
Thank you. Kip Diggs.
That's a great question. And, I'm on the arts, tourism, culture. And honestly, what we've noticed is when COVID happened, we were able to figure out ways, because honestly, our artists are what generates a lot of money down here, and people want to come to the Berta Walker in P-Town, to the Cahoon Museum. My brother's an artist, so there's nothing more than I want to do to make sure that I protect our artists and our students. And this, you know, Suzanne brought up the STEM. I mean, I'm trying to do so much for our kids. Are our future, and we're supposed to be able to hand off to our children to make it a better life for them, not a harder life. And you know, some of our children, you know, being in the arts is so. It's so difficult. I've seen how my brother has had to work because, honestly, what I see is my art. Maybe somebody else doesn't see it the same way. So, you know, artists can be taken so many different ways. So we got to make sure that we keep protecting and helping out our artists because, again, they bring revenue to here. And the dance and everything, Couture Performing Arts Center is such a great thing. And we need to have more of that.
All right, thank you. Kip Diggs, we start with you this time. Human trafficking is a larger problem in our region than some realize. You know, the district attorney has really put a focus on this, and not only sex trafficking, but forced labor. Your thoughts on how we address this issue?
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really know a lot about the human trafficking aspect, and I haven't had much talk on that. None of my constituents have reached out to me on this. Not saying that it's not important, but I haven't, you know, being the state representative here, I have not really heard a lot about it around my area. So that has not been a sticking point that I've needed to be aware of.
All right, thank you. Suzanne?
It's a hideous crime, and it happens much, much more frequently than people in the district realize. I don't think defunding the police, closing our detention facilities, having activist prosecutors and judges who are soft on crime are compatible with any movement to end human trafficking. It is one of the worst life-destroying crimes we have. It is ongoing. It is pervasive. It is especially damaging to women, young women, who have found themselves involved with opioid addiction. We need to get really tough on crime, and that would be at the top of my list to get tough on.
All right, thank you. Go ahead, quickly.
Defunding the police. Listen, I brought mental health clinicians to the police departments. I've been endorsed by the state police. I mean, there's nothing about defunding police that we're doing. We're trying to make sure that we take care of the police. But I'm talking the question was about the kids and human trafficking. I don't know much about it. And I can honestly, in my area, I have not been asked those questions. So all I can say to you on that part of it, there has not been.
Do you want to elaborate, Suzanne, on defunding?
Well, I just think that, you know, having said you don't see it, you don't think there's much of it or whatever, you know, I mean, that's rather naive because I've been doing my reading and it's much more pervasive.
Susan, I'm glad that you've been doing your reading, but I've been the state representative.
Let her finish her statement. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Suzanne.
I know it's pervasive. I know it's on the top of mind of our police chiefs in our district. They know it's happening. They need the resources to deal with it. That's all I'll say.
All right. Let's go on to the next question. And this is from a listener in Yarmouth. What is each person's position on the 10-cent deposit on bottles, and what is keeping the 5-cent increase being delayed in committee? Be detailed in your responses. And Suzanne, your turn to go first.
Well, I'm glad we do have a deposit. I'm unaware of any controversy related to an increase in that deposit. I'd have to turn to the legislature and say, like a lot of things they can't seem to accomplish these days, what's going on with it? I'll ask Representative Diggs to answer that one.
Representative Diggs?
Yeah. Well, I will say that, democracy, that there's going to be issues. There's just going to be issues, and we just got to keep communicating. Keep communicating. I will say, yeah, I'm frustrated that we weren't able to get some things done, and we will continue to keep getting things done, even though there's. I think we're going to be going back in, honestly, to finish out this economic bond bill that's very, very important. But the 5 cent. I honestly have a problem with the nips. You know, I've seen so many nips, you know, working for the town, working for the state, having to pick up trash. You know, we're supposed to take care of it ourselves, though, people. We need to make sure that, you know, if you see something on the ground, don't be afraid to pick it up. You know, trying to do the right thing. I think that we're all supposed to love each other and not condemn each other. And that's what I'm hearing. And, you know, hey, is everything perfect? No, but this world's not perfect. We're going to have issues, but we need to figure out ways to work together.
Kip Diggs, we start with you this time. We're seeing more interest in working from home following the pandemic, but our broadband infrastructure is spotty. Thoughts on how we might improve that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And yes, I'm working towards that because honestly, the broadband is one of the issues that I brought up, and I put it in, and Governor Baker vetoed it, and I'm working on trying to get that back ASAP because, honestly, I was upset that the broadband, we know that the broadband is a problem on the Cape, and we need to have more competition so that we can get our prices down. That's ways that we can bring things down to make sure that we're on a level playing field, and not even level playing field, to make sure that our police, our fire, our schools are able to do things just as fast as everyone else, and we're being competitive like everyone else, like we want to be. We can be the best if we're able to be given that chance. So yes, I definitely believe that, you know, I have a broadband bill that I'm going to get out there and make happen for the Cape.
Thank you, Suzanne.
We do need, the world has become increasingly dependent on cyber communication, and I see this as an infrastructure issue. I think Representative Diggs is absolutely right. A little competition is the only thing that gooses Comcast, to tell you the truth, to get them off their dime, get them to build out fiber optic cable, and fix these dead zones we have on Cape Cod. Everyone knows where they are. There are some communities that really struggle to get online and stay online and have some decent web speed. So, you know, Starlink, you know, that sort of thing. Let's think about these different options for connectivity. I want to make sure as well that we address the digital divide, because where there are children in schools that really are struggling to get online and stay online, those children are being permanently handicapped from understanding the world that has evolved with this web-based communication that we've evolved toward.
I want to make sure I give you enough time for a closing comment, so I'm going to make a minute question here, and it's just going to be, Suzanne, we'll start with you. What would be your top priority or priorities if you're elected?
My top priority, if elected, is to bring my voice to the State House about the state's commitment to offshore wind. Some of the eastern seaboard states are really moving away from it. I see some movement up there in Boston rethinking this, but there are a couple of great voices saying, whoa, let's slow down. I want to really talk with people about the impact on Cape Cod, which is negative.
All right. Kip Diggs, same question. What's your top priority?
To working for my district in the best way that I need to, in the way I have been. My opponent just mentioned her one thing, the wind. There's more issues. There's a lot more issues than just wind. There's housing. There's economic development. There's labor workforce development, everything that is all encompassing of Cape Cod, and that's what I'm working on. I can't just work on one thing. I got to work on 70,000 things, whatever it takes, that's coming to my district. That's what I'm working on. I'm not working on just one thing.
You want to take 30 seconds to respond?
Yeah, I thought the question was about what is your top priority, and as, you know, when I'm elected and I'm the state representative for the second Barnstable, my top priority will be to bring that issue to bear in a way that has not been brought to bear yet.
All right. I'm going to give you 2:15 for your closing comments. And Kip Diggs, we start with you.
My community lifted me up in my most difficult time of my life. That's what fuels my passion, dedication, and commitment to the Second Barnstable District. Leadership recognized my ability and my work ethic and appointed me interim chair of Labor Workforce Development. Additionally, I've been assigned for committees that are critical to my area: housing, healthcare, finance, economic development, Tourism, Arts, and Culture. I'm in this position because I'm the best person to get the job done. There are many important issues facing us, and I have been working hard to support through funding, legislation, and awareness. And through these words and actions, whether it's housing, veterans, seniors, environment, unemployment, small businesses, mental health, public safety, all issues are a priority for me. I continue to advocate in partnership with Cape Cod Healthcare and 4Cs to make a shared vision to create a four-year nursing program on the Cape. The dedicated four-year nursing program will bring an economic growth and sustainability that is vital to this area. Being proactive in approach is an important issue to our environment and transportation, allows us to work together to protect our precious beaches, promote renewable energies, resources, and improve our infrastructure. I'm thankful for your support for the last 4 years, and I'm humbly asking your vote for the next 2 years. I will continue our progress and shared vision of our safe and vibrant community. I believe that we're called to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and we need to move forward towards equality for all, no matter what who we are, what we love, who we love, what we look like. As I always say, it's not about me, it's about we. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Suzanne Conley.
I'd like to thank WCAI and you, Mindy, for hosting this debate. This is an extremely important election for the people of Barnstable and West Yarmouth. We need representation much more willing to listen to the people throughout the district about their concerns, and that is why I'm running for office. We have had 4 years of an incumbent whose loyalties are to the House Speaker rather than to the people who voted to put my opponent in office. Our issues are not the same as Quincy's. A true Cape Cod representative would not have voted against prioritizing veterans for emergency shelter. A true Cape Cod representative would not ignore the threats to our coastline, our coastal villages, our residential neighborhoods, and our sole source aquifer from offshore wind. A true Cape Cod representative would not support allocating massive amounts of taxpayer dollars to address the migrant surge while our working families, veterans, and seniors struggle to survive in the current economic climate here on Cape Cod. As a state representative, I will fight to lower the sales tax to 5%, to increase state aid to our towns in order to keep property taxes low, and to vote to amend the right to shelter law. And of course, I will continue to fight predatory ocean wind companies in order to save our beaches, our villages, our neighborhoods for the next generation. I would be honored to have your vote and to be your state representative. For more information, please visit us at capecodconley.com. And once again, thank you for your time.
And if you have missed any of this, you can catch the entire program on our website, capeandislands.org. Thank you both, Suzanne Conley and Kip Diggs. Thank you for coming in and letting folks know where you stand on issues. We appreciate that. I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.